God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
Thank you, friends, for being with us. This is Pastor Larry. We've canceled our virtual conference due to circumstances that are beyond our control. There is a great deal of political unrest and confusion in our country, and also the possibility that there might be communications disruptions. So, like I say, we've canceled it. We know that big tech is restricting and censoring conservative speech. As a matter of fact, in a campaign presentation in October 2019, Kamala Harris wanted Twitter to drop President Trump's account. So, if we want to see how hypocrisy looks close up, look no further. Twitter bans Trump, but the Iranian Ayatollah, Louis Farrakhan, Chinese communist propaganda, all of that is still active. On the eve of Robert Mueller's appointment as special counsel to investigate allegations of collusion between Russian officials and the Trump 2016 campaign, Nancy Pelosi tweeted, quote, "Our election was hijacked. There is no question. Congress has a duty to protect our democracy and follow the facts," close quotes. President Trump recently went to the Alamo and said, "I kept my promises to secure the border." For years, he said, politicians ran for office promising to secure the border, only to get elected and do just the opposite. "But unlike these others who came before me, I kept my promise," close quotes. May we be faithful. Our God is always faithful. His plan is never canceled, only furthered. The events of the last few months have not canceled God's plan, only furthered it. I think we're going to see some very, very encouraging things happening in the future. I want to recommend that you pray Isaiah 64, verse 1 and following. "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence." Ask God to come in power to do something dramatic. The situation is critical. God's people are being treated horribly. Ask God, pray to Him. Ask Him to do something mighty that all might know there is a God in heaven and on earth. We are happy to have Dr. Michael Brown on the show with us once again. He is best-selling author and founder of Ask Dr. Brown Ministries. He is a Messianic Bible scholar, apologist, and social commentator. His recent commentary, and this is tremendous, "Congress has officially gone gender crazy." It's featured on charismanews.com. It's one of the many examples of a sharp insight into critical concern issues. Dr. Brown has come out with a new book titled "Christian Anti-Semitism Confronting the Lies in Today's Church." I want to just quote from him, "This is a book I wish I did not have to write, but anti-Semitism is raising its ugly head again right within the church, including the evangelical church," close quotes. Dr. Brown, it's a privilege to have you on the show.
Great to be with you. Thanks so much for doing it.
Well, as we start out, I would think that the fact that God has been so merciful to Israel, despite her many failings, and we see that in the Old Testament, that should encourage Christians. Isn't that a very important point, that God is faithful?
Yeah, it is a very important point, that we should realize that just as Israel stands by grace, that the church stands by grace, we should realize in our personal lives, just as God was so long-suffering towards the Jewish people, that He's long-suffering towards each of us, and yet the church is somehow scandalized by God's faithfulness to Israel, thinking, well, if God keeps His promises to Israel, where does it leave the church? Or saying, no, Israel can only be dealt with under the law. And it seems that the grace that is extended to God's people through Jesus, rather than Christians extending that grace to Israel and the Jewish people, they deny it and say, well, God is finished with Israel. God has cursed the Jewish people. They deserve what they get. That type of thinking has been in the church through the centuries and is raising its ugly head again in our generation in ways I've not seen in my lifetime.
Right. I know you actually wrote a book in 1992 documenting anti-Semitism in church history way back then. But now it's really shocking to write this book focusing on anti-Semitism in today's church. I mean, it seems like it's become it always was a monster, but now it's really morphed into something huge and ugly and horrible.
Yeah, and that's why I say this was a book I wish I didn't have to write. So just a little of my own history. I came to faith in 1971, the end of 1971. I was 16 years old. I'm Jewish. I was a heavy drug user, LSD using, heroin shooting, hippie rock drummer. Got radically saved in a little Italian Pentecostal church in Queens, New York. And the people there were very much loving of me, not just as a sinner, but as a Jew, and also really lovers of Israel, and really saw modern Israel today as an answer to prayer and part of prophetic fulfillment. And shortly after coming to faith, my dad said, look, you know, I'm glad you're off drugs, but we're Jews. We don't believe this. You need to talk to the local rabbi. I said, great. So I meet the local rabbi. We're still in touch to this day, almost 50 years later. I meet the local rabbi. We begin to interact. And he loans me a book, which I ended up keeping, still have it, with the note that he gave me with the book. And it was a book about anti-Semitism in church history. And it was a shocking read. I mean, Catholic anti-Semitism, anti-Semitism from Martin Luther, famous names in church history. It was a shock. But for me, because I was not in a Catholic church or, say, a Lutheran church or what you call a mainline denominational church, I didn't have a sense of church history. Mm. As a Jew coming to Jesus, I didn't have a history through the generations of believing in Jesus. And Pentecostals, you know, they say, well, we believe what happened in the New Testament, miracles and signs and wonders and tongues and healing. So to me, we kind of jump straight from where we were right back to the New Testament. I kind of skipped all of church history.
Right.
But as the years go on, you're like, well, you really can't do that. You know, this is where were God's people through the centuries. And that begins to raise issues and questions. You think, well, how is it that so many got off when it came to Israel? Yeah, we all believe Jews need Jesus to be saved. We all believe that there's only one way to God, and that's through him. When I say we, I mean followers of Jesus. But how is it that so many followers of Jesus actually hated the Jewish people and thundered hatred against the Jewish people and were fine with their suffering and persecution and even saw it as a sign of God's judgment on the Jews to always be scattered? The churches were growing and the Christians building their cathedrals and the Jews are scattered and suffering. That's a proof of God's judgment on them. You know, how did this happen? And how was this anti-Semitic rhetoric from John Chrysostom in the 4th century to Martin Luther in the 15th, 16th century, how was that used to flame the fires of the Holocaust? How did this happen? So I studied the history. I wrote the book you mentioned, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, which came out in 92, and it's never gone out of print. We put out a new updated edition in 2019. But it went through the history, and it talked about some of what was happening today, but for the most part, that was foreign, because I've traveled around the world. I've been out of the U.S. about 200 times. I've been to many, many different countries. And in country after country, I've run in tremendous love, encountered tremendous love for the Jewish people, great love for Israel, prayers for Israel and the Jewish people. I've not encountered, quote, Christian anti-Semitism.
Right.
But now, wherever I turn, I'm seeing it. In the last year or two, I've encountered more anti-Semitism being expressed in Jesus' name than I did in the previous 48, 49 years before that. And that's why I wrote the new book, Christian Anti-Semitism.
Wow. Well, you know, as I look at your book and as I look at what I hear from people who are anti-Semitic, there are a couple of things that they point out. Now, what about the Noahide laws? Will Jews behead Christians under the Noahide laws? Is there any proof that some Jews believe that, or is that just all a big, big, horrible fib?
It is complete hogwash. It is complete nonsense. It is complete misunderstanding. Misinterpretation. I have to be candid. When someone asked me that question on the radio last year, I was so shocked to hear it.
Right.
I said, there's a better chance of Santa Claus coming through your chimney on Christmas than that happening. Well, next thing, there's a firestorm. How dare you say that? Mm. You're a test. What? And I'm finding out YouTube channels, much bigger than mine, and we've got a decent amount of subscribers, but much bigger than mine, with many, many more views on each video than ours, they're espousing this very thing. And different Christian leaders and secular leaders, I'm thinking, where in the world did this come from? So to take a moment to explain, growing up, I was not a religious Jew, so I didn't know a lot about Judaism. It was more nominal. But once I began to, when I came to faith and would share the gospel with rabbis and others, they would say, look, you're a Jew, you have to follow the Torah, observe the commandments, it's a gift God's given us. But the Gentiles, the Goyim as they call them, the Gentiles, and Goyim just means people of the nations, they only have to follow the seven laws of Noah. Well, what are those? This is something that comes by rabbinic interpretation of the Bible, based on Genesis 2 and Genesis 9, that deduces that there are seven laws that God gave humanity through Adam and then ultimately through Noah. For example, laws prohibiting idolatry, blasphemy, adultery, theft, murder, laws against eating the limb of a live animal, and the injunction to establish courts of justice. These would be the seven so-called laws of Noah. So the concept is, if a Gentile lives by these laws, he's just as righteous as the Jew keeping the 613 commandments. You say, okay, so where do you get from that that Jews are going to start beheading Christians? Okay, it's so convoluted, I've got to explain where it comes from. There's a debate in rabbinic literature as to whether Christians are idol worshippers or not. Are they breaking one of the seven laws of Noah? In other words, because we believe in the deity of Jesus, does that make us idolaters? Because we believe that God is triune, does that mean we don't believe in the one God and therefore we are idolaters? There's a debate in rabbinic Judaism. Ultimately, the traditions ended up accepting Christianity for Gentiles, that if a Gentile believes in the deity of Jesus or the Trinity, they are not idol worshippers, but if a Jew does, that person is an idol worshipper. So that there's some debate in Jewish history as to whether a Christian is keeping the Noahide laws or not. Okay, so you understand that? You say, okay, yes. Well, where do you get the idea of beheading? All right, because this is all theoretical law. In other words, this is not to be applied. This is theoretical law that just like in the Torah, if a Jew breaks the Sabbath, that person would be put to death, right? That theoretically, anyone that commits idolatry in the Messianic kingdom, in other words, when the Messiah is ruling and reigning, if someone commits idolatry, that person would be put to death, just like a Jew who breaks the Sabbath would be put to death. So if this happens, if the point in time comes when the Messiah is ruling and reigning over the earth, then these laws would be enforced, and those who break them would be put to death. That's all. The same way a Jew breaking the Sabbath would be put to death, or someone committing adultery would be put to death. Well, because the United States has said we like the seven laws of Noah, presidents have affirmed it, you know, the Pope affirms it. No, yeah, because it's presented as Jews, Christians, Muslims can all follow the seven, the Christians, Muslims can follow the seven laws of Noah and all worship the same God as the Jews, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, we affirm this. No, no, no. This is actually a secret arrangement that's being made. The United States government and the Pope, and they're all signing on the dotted line. And then when the Jews take over the world, they're going to start beheading Christians, and the guillotines are already being shipped. This is the madness that's being believed. And in the book, in Christian Antisemitism, not only do I lay out some of the madness, I mean, you read the headlines, you read in the book what they say is coming, and beware, beware. But the moment I speak against it and just tell the truth, this proves I'm a secret Mossad agent, or I'm actually secretly working for the rabbis, or I mean, ugly, ridiculous stuff. And what it is, it's playing into the same anti-Semitic lies,
right?
The same conspiracy theories. The evil Jews are going to take over the world, and when they do, they're going to start killing people. You think, oh, so you're just telling me that the Pope, the Vatican, and 1 billion plus Catholics, they'll just say, oh, yes, please, go ahead, start beheading us. And that the American government, they'll say, oh, yes, please, we're many of us are Christians, start beheading us. In the Muslim world, they'll say, yes, go ahead. It is so preposterous. And the fact is, Christians are being beheaded now under Islam. They are being killed with Hindu radicals. And rather than focus on the reality of that, we're focusing on this myth to try to demonize the Jews. It's shocking.
Dr. Brown, I read some and look at some, you know, weird YouTube stuff just to see what the other guys were saying. And as I look, as I listen, as I read, I think that some of the insane hostility against Donald Trump comes about because of, you know, I mean, he's recognized Jerusalem. He's done so much for the Jewish people. And I think that's part of the angst, the anger, the madness. I mean, even the PGA is now, you know, disavowing. They're not going to use his golf course in New Jersey and on and on. It's like a scorched earth policy because he's supportive of Israel.
Yeah, well, I mean, the animus towards Trump obviously comes from different angles, you know, and there are a lot of political things that are going on. But the fact of the matter is that the insanity that is out there, ultimately, if you just tell the truth about Jewish people, if you stand with Israel, if you dispel a myth, that makes you into an evil person.
Yes.
And one way that you can kind of analyze a cult-like mentality is the only one that you can trust is the cult leader, or that there's one group that is universally demonized and nothing good can be said about them. When you have that way of mentality and think, and then someone presents evidence, and the evidence gets turned upside down, that becomes a very, very dangerous thing. You know, for example, if I say to you, I have evidence that you belong to the KKK and you're a racist, you say it's the craziest thing I ever heard. It's like, aha, that proves it. You're denying it. And then when you say, look, here's my entire family history for the last 300 years, we are absolutely civil rights loving people and, mm-hmm. and anti-KKK. Ah, that proves how deep the cover-up is. I mean, it's that type of madness. And in these days now, when conspiracy theories are running amok,
yes.
It means that one way or another, the Jews are going to get scapegoated again.
Well, this is very, very significant. I think it explains so much, and we are just about out of time, but you have a tremendous section on the truth about the Talmud, and you speak about the debates about is the Talmud really speaking about Jesus or someone else, Yesu kind of thing. So we're going to have you back for another show. Friends, this is very, very important because this whole issue about Israel, Israel and prophecy, we think of Genesis 12, 1, 2, and 3, these are key issues affecting the entire world at this time. So please be sure to tune in to our next broadcast, Southwest Radio Church. Matthew will come and tell you how you can get this excellent book, Christian Antisemitism, Confronting the Lies in Today's Church.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer today is the exciting new book by Michael L. Brown titled Christian Antisemitism. You can have a copy for a gift of $20 if you live in the United States and $40 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our toll-free number 1-800-652-1144. You can also order by writing to us at Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And you can always order our books and other materials on our website at swrc.com. We also have the best-selling book by Dr. Ed Heinzen titled Target Israel, Caught in the Crosshairs of the End Times. You can have a copy of this extraordinary book for a gift of $20. Better yet, why not get both books, Christian Antisemitism and Target Israel, for a gift of $26. The number again is 1-800-652-1144. The address is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. Here again is Pastor Larry.
Biblical justice involves conformity to God's moral standard as revealed in the Ten Commandments and the royal law, love your neighbor as yourself. Social justice, on the other hand, involves deconstructing traditional systems and structures deemed to be oppressive and redistributing power and resources from oppressors to their victims in the pursuit of equality of outcome.
In recent years, a powerful ideology has made deep inroads into the very heart of the evangelical church. To its mainstream advocates, it is called social justice and is nearly always joined with a commitment to equality, diversity, and inclusion. Words have consequences. When the evangelical church exchanges the biblical definition of a word as important as justice with a counterfeit, it is a major issue. Jesus said, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." Social justice can be recognized by its bitter fruit. The lives and cultures shaped by it are marked by enmity, hostility, suspicion, entitlement, and Marxism.
Toward the end of President Trump's second State of the Union address in February 2019, he turned to the issue of abortion, challenging Americans to, quote, work together to build a culture that cherishes innocent life and to reaffirm a fundamental truth: all children, born and unborn, are made in the holy image of God, close quotes. Stacey Abrams, a former gubernatorial candidate from Georgia, responded on Twitter, defending the right to a legal abortion by saying, quote, America achieved a measure of reproductive justice in Roe v. Wade, close quotes.
Just what did she mean by reproductive justice? The phrase wasn't hers. It was first coined in 1994 by a group called Women of African Descent for Reproductive Justice. They defined reproductive justice this way, quote, the human right to maintain personal, bodily autonomy, have children, not have children, and parent the children we have in safe and sustainable communities, close quotes. The notion of a personal, bodily autonomy flows out of a postmodernism, which holds that ultimate authority is not vested in God or in science, but in the autonomous, sovereign individual. In an appalling irony, this moral reasoning has made abortion the leading cause of death for black lives in America today. Every year, well in excess of 250,000 unborn black children are lost through abortion. In New York City, more black babies are aborted than born alive. Is this justice?
They say liars figure to make figures lie. You may have noticed a lack of statistics for deaths for normal conditions, such as flu or automobile accidents. Annually, flu takes thousands of lives. This year, it's hard to remember any stats on flu. COVID seems to be the primary cause of all deaths. From the Daily Caller, December 29th, two Minnesota legislators said Thursday that coronavirus deaths in the state are being deliberately inflated and a national audit is required to determine how many people are actually dying from another cause. I enlisted some people that are really good at understanding data to go through these death files, and what I found was shocking because I was just hoping that it was a myth. But indeed, Minnesota is classifying some deaths as COVID when clearly they should not be. According to Minnesota Republican State Representative Mary Franson, speaking on Fox News, Tucker Carlson Tonight, we should not have people dying in motor vehicle collisions, suicides, drownings, etc., and being classified as a COVID death, said Franson, adding that the presumed death toll is one of the chief reasons our state is locked down. Our kids are now going to have to wear masks while playing basketball and hockey. She noted that people in the state are allowed to eat at restaurants, but it's got to be outside. Today in Minnesota, we've got a blizzard. People are losing their livelihoods. Republican Minnesota State Senator Scott Jensen suggested health care dollars are affecting the official COVID-19 death rate. When the Department of Health and the CDC decided to change the rules that had been in place for 17 years by encouraging the diagnosis of COVID-19 situations that we would never have otherwise, they were abandoning their long-held commitment to precisely identifying the inciting or the initiating event that would lead to a sequence of events that would lead to a person's demise, Jensen said. What we saw subsequently was enhanced payments to hospitals for Medicare patients. And then we saw if hospitals could somehow hit 161 admissions with COVID-19, then they would be eligible for a $77,000 per admission payment through the CARES Act, he said. I don't think there are any questions that reverse incentives have been created. Dr. Deborah Birx, the former White House Coronavirus Task Force Response Coordinator, suggested in May that some official COVID-19 statistics, including deaths, might have been inflated by up to 25%. At that time, two-thirds of Americans also expressed doubt over the official coronavirus numbers. Coronavirus deaths may have reached record levels in the U.S. throughout December, and maybe we now know why. In 1 Timothy 6, 9, and 10, we see Paul's warning to his young protege, Timothy. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
Is it a sin to be a Zionist? What is anti-Semitism exactly? Find out when you order today's special offer by calling 1-800-652-1144. We invite you to write to us with your Bible questions or comments by writing to Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And remember to visit us online at swrc.com. Perhaps this is the first time you have heard this program. Maybe you've listened for a while and you like this program and look forward to it, but have never called or written in. We invite you to do that today. In fact, for those that call or write today and say, "Jesus is Lord, please send me the DVD," we will send you a complimentary DVD of our TV show we call The Journey. If you like the radio program, wait till you see the video version. It was banned by some TV stations as being too controversial. Since when did the truth become controversial? The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. The address to write is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And the website is swrc.com. When we offer an item for $30, we do not get to keep $30. We have to purchase these items we offer, which cost us about half of that. Then we have to pay the radio stations to play our program. We know you can get these items we offer cheaper at someplace else. But the little money we do get to keep goes for purchasing new items and all the rest that keeps this ministry on the air. So when you look for a cheaper price online, remember the great program you just heard and say to yourself, "I'll support Southwest Radio Church because I enjoy their messages on Bible prophecy and Bible teaching." Thanks for being with us today. Join us tomorrow when Pastor Larry and Michael Brown continue this series on the Watchman on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Church.